2 Peter chapter 2 is where we'll start. We'll make one stop along the way to Luke chapter 18. If you'd like to bookmark your Bible there, so we can get to it quickly. Did you all have a good July 4th? I don't see anybody too sunburned, so we did good there. Second Peter chapter 2. Luke chapter 18. Just by a show of hands, who was here 2 weeks ago when we finished the first chapter of 2 Peter? Not a lot. Okay, I'll have to do a little refresher. Okay. Well, we got our Bibles ready. Let's now ask God to prepare our hearts to receive what He has to speak to us. Father, we don't want to take this time for granted. We don't want to take your word lightly. For Lord, these are the very words of your lips, scriptures that were given to holy men as inspired by the Holy Spirit. Not ideas that they had, not teachings that they thought would be important, but Lord, teachings that you thought would be important. Letters that would encourage churches to continue in their faith, that would correct other churches to get back on track. And here for the second letter from Peter, it's a letter to stay the course. False teachers were abounding in these days. There was heresies being taught. And Peter's heart was, be sure to stay to the truth. Stay close to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the things that were taught by Him. And so we pray now, 2,000 some years later, sitting in a church on a Sunday morning with our Bibles open, Lord, we live in a cesspool of false teachers. There are so many influences that influence our lives. We pray that your word and your truth would fill us to overflow this morning. Not head knowledge, God, but heart knowledge, life knowledge, knowledge that we would be able to share with others to encourage them. For we live in a lost world that is going and heading towards destruction. But Lord, we have the hope of heaven. And so for us, we see the signs of the times and we look forward to your return. As it says in the book of Revelation, come, Lord Jesus, come. We are ready for you. So bless this service. For it's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you were with us a couple weeks ago, the last verses of 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter was really encouraging the believers there that, hey, guys, we witnessed the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw Him with our eyes. We heard His teachings, with our ears. We witnessed Him in glory at the Mount of Transfiguration. He encouraged the believers, listen, in Old Testament times, there were holy men driven by God, by the Holy Spirit, not teaching teachings of their own accord or their own ideas, but only what the Holy Spirit spoke to them. And so there was this sense of, at the end of the first chapter, of Peter saying, hey, there's a lot of positive influences out there in the world. There's a lot of positive influences that were in the past of Old Testament scriptures that we have. Genesis, all the way to Malachi. Those scriptures that are dear to us, that we surely must study and understand. Yes, it's great to study the New Testament and the teachings of Jesus, but I'll tell you what, if you take time to study the Old Testament, you will see Jesus from the very first word of the book of Genesis all the way to the end. He is there. God knitted Him in and through the Old Testament to be revealed in the New Testament for us. And to know those things and to understand those things and to embrace those things. We all know that truth is being challenged in our day, do we not? We experience it all the time, and we live in the Bible Belt, and people believe in God, and they believe in Jesus, and they certainly will consider the Word, and there's not a lot of persecution that we experience here, but we live in a world and in a place where in other parts of the country, not so much. Don't even say the name of Jesus. Don't even try to pray with someone during your lunch break. I just was sitting with a couple doing some premarital counseling, and the girl is in a workplace, and she was praying and doing a Bible study on her lunch break, with another coworker, and her manager came in and said, "You must stop that right now." And we say, "Wow." And it's, we do, because here it's like everybody kind of carries a Bible. Everybody's a believer. You know, I say that loosely. But there's other parts of the country, forget it. Don't even pretend to even think you could even say the name Jesus in the workplace. So we are in those days where truth is being challenged. And we, as the New Testament church, as Christians, those who believe in Jesus Christ, need to make sure that we're staying in that place of truth, being constantly changed, be constantly challenged, be constantly stretched in the truth so that we know it. It's not just enough, I hope, for you to just know it here or to know it here for yourself. But do you have coworkers, you have friends, you have neighbors that need to know this truth, need to embrace this truth, because there's a lot of people, even in the church, that are believing lies, as if they were true. So we need to be trained. We need to be influenced. And that's the message I have for us this morning in the first three verses of the second chapter of 2 Peter. Because now Peter goes from talking about holy men moved by the Holy Spirit, inspired by the Holy Spirit, writing on behalf of the Holy Spirit. He flips the switch real quickly and says, but be careful, there's false teachers out there as well. Don't be deceived, church. Yes, there are believers and there are people that will pray with you and there are people that will encourage you, but there's also people that will help lead you astray. We have to have, we've been given the Holy Spirit. We must utilize the Holy Spirit to give us that discernment to know when we're receiving truth and when we're receiving lies. Training. I just wrote down some examples of what we do to train. And I took some different areas of the world or areas of this people that we live with. You think about a soldier in the military or even policemen. They have what they call basic training, right? We go through basic training. One friend who's gone through basic training told me, he said, some days we'd get up early in the morning, 6 o'clock, and we'd start running until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I said, well, you stopped every now and again, right? Nope. You just kept going. They pushed you and strengthened you and would push you to your limits. Why? So that you'd be equipped and you'd be ready in the time of attack. And so running and running, pushing you beyond your limit, thinking you're just going to give up. That's what they do for soldiers. So athletes, we think of sports, preseason, right? There's preseason practice. They get in camp in the summer and they train, they practice, they push things, they do push-ups, sit-ups, all these things to push themselves in the heat of summer so that they're ready for the game. Even football, they have preseason games that don't really mean anything. It's just preparing them for the real games. They're being trained. They're being trained up. If you're an employee at a corporation, you probably have training seminars and go to retreats, staff retreats to be equipped, continuing education. Maybe in your job, you have to continually freshen up on your skills. Why? Things change, right? It's the day we live in. You're learning new techniques. They're teaching you to be more effective in your workplace. And certainly as students in school, we're learning things we never knew. Technology changes every minute, probably. We constantly have to be up on these things. So if that's the world, and if that's the thing to do for the career or for the activity, but then when we come to church, then when we put ourselves in that Christian mindset, do we train ourselves? Are we being pushed? Are we being stretched? Are we being challenged in our Christianity? Or as it comes to church, I come on Sunday. I even bring my Bible with me. And the pastor tells me to open this up to 2 Peter, and I do. But I don't take notes. I don't need notes. And I do mean to convict a lot of people in here about not taking notes. And the reason I convict you is because if I don't take notes, I forget. I forget. It doesn't matter how good the message is. It doesn't matter the illustrations. There's going to be things that we're going to forget. And if we have our Bible, at least our Bible open and a pen in our hand, and maybe a piece of paper, so I can write something down, maybe in the margin of my Bible. Man, that spoke to me. I didn't realize that word meant that. That speaks to me. It's being engaged. It's being stretched. It's being trained so that later on you can come back to that and go, I need to remember what that said. I need to come back to that scripture. That really spoke to me. And that's going to equip me for it's being trained, my friends. This is class. You hear me? This is class for life to live as a Christian. We don't do our Christianity only here, I pray. I pray we really do our Christianity when we get off these grounds. I love churches that have signs on the exits of all their properties that says, now entering the mission field. It's true. We should be trained up and equipped and stretched, using the tools and the gifts and talents that we have in the church to build the church so that we can go out and affect the world. I was blessed this morning talking to a brother in the church, just sharing what my week was like. And it was a blessing to me. Say, let me pray for you. Small little thing that doesn't seem like much. But to know that the Spirit moved in this person's heart to say, I want to pray for you. I'm a pastor. I need prayer. You need prayer. The person sitting next to you needs prayer. The person behind you, you don't even know, needs prayer. The only way you're going to know that is if you have a conversation with them. And I guess this morning is a morning of convictions. Because hear me out. Our service starts at 9:30. We do about 30 minutes worth of worship. Why do people come late? Why do people miss the worship? And again, hear my heart. Are you hungry for more of God in your life? If this was a work meeting or a work class, would you show up late? No, there's coffee. I've got to get my coffee before the class, right? We have coffee. If you are someone that comes to church late consistently, do me a favor. Reevaluate, regroup, get focused so you can come here to worship God. I mean, it's not about us hearing the entertainment, please, God forbid. But it's truly a time for us to say, Lord, prepare my heart. Help me to sing these words and mean them from my heart. And you might say, well, I don't sing good, so that's why I come after the singing. Good. I don't sing good either. That's why I stand in the back. You can stand with me. Come. Be filled with God. Be prepared for the word. The word certainly is a very important part of the service. But the worship is also equally an important part. Do you worship God on a regular basis? Not just with your lips. Your heart. Worshiping Him. Thanking Him for what He's done. You've heard me say, I thank God for green lights. It makes my day a lot easier. Thank you, Lord. I know He's in charge of the red lights too, but listen, you got to learn to thank God and you got to learn to worship God consistently. With regard to your Christianity, are you still learning? Are you still growing? Or have you grown stagnant in your walk with God? For some of you, maybe you've only believed in the Lord for a year or so, and you're a new believer. You're still trying to figure it out. You're still learning. And those deep desires to read the Scriptures every day and to pray and to be involved, it's not natural yet. You're learning that. But for those of us that have been with the Lord for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, don't stick it in neutral and just coast. Stick it in overdrive and really seek the Lord. Seek what He'll do for you and what you can do for Him. Have you accepted the Lord in your heart, and that's enough? It's okay, you'll go to heaven. Don't get me wrong. But I think you'll miss the most vital part of your life. Are there godly influencers in your life? That's the question, and that's the title for my message. Are there godly influencers in your life? Look with me at 2 Peter verse 1. 2 Peter 2 verse 1. But, so again, Peter was talking about the holy men moved by God, moved by the Holy Spirit in verse 21 of the first chapter. Now he says, but there were also false prophets among the people. Even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, They will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Those are the three verses I want us to look at this morning. Certainly not three verses that you would probably put on a plaque on your wall. They're not encouraging. But they're a strong warning, are they not? A strong warning. Now, I looked at these verses this week as I studied, and I want to flip them on their head. Because I want them to apply them to our lives. Again, are there godly influencers in your life? I want you during this message to be considering the people that are in your life that are either pouring into your life, pulling out of your life, or misdirecting your life. Who are those people that you hang around? Who are those people that you do life with? Could be coworkers, could be family, could be friends, whatever. Whoever it is that's pouring into your life or ministering into your life. See, we can have the positive ones, can we not? We can have people that are going to pray for us, that are going to encourage us with the Lord, that are always going to be mindful to ask how we're doing. But then there's also those others that, as Peter is talking, they just want it for themselves. They want to get out of you whatever they can, or others that may even want to take you off the path that God has for you. Who are those people in your life? And maybe there's two columns in your notes. Maybe there's people on the left side that says, these are the people that really do encourage me in the Lord. But is there anybody on this other side, on the right-hand side, the people that, you know what, that's just they all either mock my faith or don't believe in God, or we're friends because we were friends before I got saved, and now I'm saved, and they're not, but I'm still their friend, so I try to hang out with them. And what effect do they have on your life? Or do they cause you to compromise your faith? Or do you truly have a heart for this person and want to lead them to the Lord? Those are the list of the names of influencers that are in your life. The positive influencers are the ones I want to focus on this morning. You see again in verse 1, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them. Our first point, are there godly influences in your life? Number one, do they draw you to Jesus? Do they draw you to Jesus? Again, flipping this verse on its head, it says here that even these would deny the Lord who bought them. See, Jesus died for everyone. Do you believe that? Jesus paid the price for all. Thank God he did. He paid, the price was enough to save me. The price was enough to save you. But listen, the price was enough to save the entire world if they'll receive it. Right? If they'll receive it. His sacrifice, it is finished. It is complete. And God honored that sacrifice by raising him from the dead and bringing him back to heaven. So God accepted that sacrifice. So I love the way Peter puts it. Even denying the Lord who bought them, he paid the price for them. I think people need to know that. I think people need to be reminded of that. Maybe you need to be reminded of that. Jesus paid the price for you. Don't deny him in any way. He's opened up such an opportunity for you to live for him and to share that with people. If someone asks you, well, why do you believe in Jesus? I mean, here's a great answer. Because he paid the price in full for me that I get to go to heaven. And all I have to do is follow after him and be used by him. That's all I have to do is just trust in him. See, there's false teachers, Peter reminds us. But there will also be false. Peter didn't want his readers who were under heavy persecution to be blinded by the fact that there's going to be people that have seemingly good intentions, but they want nothing but to destroy you. That's what a false teacher is. It looks a little bit good on the outside, but then there's always this little something that's a check in our... What is that? We call them today, what do we call them? Cults. I don't know if anyone in this room has ever been involved in a cult. I've had experiences, not in cults, but I've experienced people that were in cults. And it's just, there's something in your spirit that just doesn't identify with their spirit. That's why I said the important thing about having the Holy Spirit is that discernment that the Holy Spirit can give to you. When you hear someone speaking to you and most of it sounds good, but there's one thing that just seems off. That's the Holy Spirit going, bah, 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 bah. And you got to heed that. You got to know that. They might be well-intended. They might seem like very nice people. But they're teaching heresy. They're teaching false truth. Everything looks good on the outside. Look at this verse. It's in the book of Jude. It's the fourth verse. There's only one chapter there. They call it 1 verse 4, but there's only one book, or one chapter. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice it says, certain men have crept in. In where? In the church. I used to have a friend from many years ago, and he used to say, the devil always shows up to church. And he sure does. He sure does, because the devil shows up when you walk in here and you go, I shouldn't be in here. I don't deserve to be in here. I messed up this week. The enemy's here to speak lies to you, to distract you so you don't hear the truth that God wants to speak to your heart. He's here. But the Holy Spirit's also here too. And greater is the Holy Spirit than the enemy. And there's men that have been crept in, unnoticed. Why? They don't walk in red suits with spiky tails and pitchforks. That would be great. No, you have to really look around. Who is it? Which one? Which one of you in here? Stand up. You see, we have to have that watchful eye. Hey, they brought me a coffee and they brought me a piece of cake. And man, these people are really nice. Be careful. Crept in unnoticed. Dwelling amongst us like they look the same, they sound the same, they dress the same, but there's something that's off. And so Jude is telling us, remember, unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men. You spend time with anyone that's someone like this, and they'll show their true color. Be cautious. Nothing wrong with spending time with these type of people. Nothing wrong with ministering to these people. But you just, at some point, go, mm-mm, not right. You're a distraction to me. The problem with false teachers is that they are sitting in the church today. They have the appearance of holiness, but they're unnoticed. Their message is poison. And once we embrace poison, it can destroy us. How many people do we know that have gone astray because they've believed a lie? You know? Denying the Lord who paid the price in full for them. You know, some people look at this and they say, see, that's universal salvation. Jesus paid the price. Everybody on the earth is saved. That's not true. You must accept. You must receive. There's no doubt there's people in this room that actually have a gift certificate that someone gave to them. Someone went to the store to buy a gift certificate for you for a birthday, an anniversary, or just because they like you. And either it's a gift card or something, you have it, but you haven't used it. They paid for it. But you're not receiving the benefit from it because you haven't used it. That's what Jesus did. He paid the price for them. He's given them the certificate, but they don't receive it. They don't use it. Guys, the grace that has been availed to us by God is available to us if we will use it. Don't be afraid to use it. Don't be afraid to use the salvation God has given to you. Don't let it go to waste. True godly influencers will draw you closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you always tell the fruit. Jesus says you'll know them by their fruit. Do they draw you to Jesus? Are the influencers in your life pushing you to Christ? I know businesses that every single morning they do a staff devotion. They're pouring into their staff. They're encouraging their staff in the Lord. And it's because they have a heart from, they want them to be closer to Jesus, because they know if their employees are closer to Jesus, then the work product will be better. There's a real truth to this. And who's drawing you to Jesus, or who's drawing you away? Hey, there's nothing wrong with missing church every once in a while to watch a football game. But don't make it a habit. Don't get season tickets every Sunday, you're gone. Did a friend buy you season tickets for the football game? I would question their salvation. Think about the people in your life. And if they're drawing you closer to Jesus, That's all that matters. Drawing them closer to Jesus. Drawing you closer to Jesus, not closer to them. Look at the second verse. And many will follow their destructive ways. Oh, this verse just breaks my heart. Many will follow their destructive ways. It's amazing that when it's a lie, people will flock. You cannot tell the fruitfulness of a ministry just by the number of people that are there. Okay? Big churches aren't better churches, necessarily. Big churches can potentially do more, can impact the community more. But just, we have to realize, many will follow destructive ways. There's big cults too. Not only do they draw you to Jesus, do they lead you to truth? Do they lead you to truth? Is Scripture something that your influencers in your life share with you? Maybe it's even if it's just a devotion that they had that morning, and they just, I got to tell you about this devotion. You probably have friends that either email or text you, hey, I was reading my devotion, and this made me think of you, and they send it to you. They're leading you to the truth, to read that truth, to understand that truth. God bless you. And we need to make sure that there are people that are leading us to the truth of God's word and not to ourselves. Notice it says, and many will follow their destructive ways, right? It's like, follow me, come after me, bring attention to me. They don't care about the truth in a person's life. They care that they're drawing a crowd. Follow the destructive ways, a new thing, you know, a new discovery. Come over here, and there's a bunch of people that will follow. Do people in your life seem more concerned about your relationship to God than any other relationship in your life? I don't know, maybe at face value that sounds weird. Like, well, wait a minute. But if your relationship to God is strong, what I've found, every other relationship in your life will be strong. If you have a close, intimate relationship to the Lord, listen, you're going to have a close, intimate relationship with your spouse, with your friends, with your employees. Because why? Because you've experienced that time and that closeness with the Lord, and He's going to draw you towards others, and He's going to draw others to you, because you're going to be filled with Him. That light that He gives to us is going to help shine through. So crowds don't mean anything. I think it's the sweetest thing when someone will have a home Bible study with 2, 3, 4 people. It's intimate. It's personal. It's questions. It's really getting to know somebody. I remember going to a Bible study. It was just me and one other guy. And you know what that opportunity opened up? Is this man was able to pour out his heart of some things that were going on in his life that if there were other people there, he probably would have never done. We get in a crowd, and I think we all feel better about ourselves. See, you all look great this morning. You're dressed nice. Your hair's done well. But I want to see you on Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday when something bad has happened in your life. I want to be there for you and help you through that. So don't worry about the big crowd. You worry about the one-on-one, the intimacy. Are you this kind of person? I just can't share the truth with people. When someone asks me how I'm doing great. Thanks, brother. And inside you're just tore up. Enemy just sits back and goes, perfect. Perfect. It's just a little bit more and you'll be destroyed. How many people have we seen that have fallen? How many people have we seen that have been tempted by adultery or some sin because what? They kept it to themselves. Breaks this pastor's heart to think you're going through something and you're unwilling to share it and you think you can handle it. When someone right next to you could be praying for you. Someone else could be, and continue to pray for you. You know, most of the people in the church that get the emails for the prayer requests. I have a friend, Connie, in Florida. She's been battling cancer. And we've been praying for her, and it's been great. And here recently, the last few months, she got a clear bill of health, no cancer. But just this morning, it's back. And yes, we have to stand back up and say, God, you've done it once. We're going to do it again. You're going to do it again. We're going to continue to be faithful. We don't look back and go, ah, our prayers didn't work. No, our prayers did work. And this could just be a doctor. I haven't got all the details. This could just be a doctor just covering his bases. I don't know yet. But when you hear that, it's like, pray. Oh, we want to pray, Lord. We want to pray and see you move. Please, 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 please. If you do have influencers in your life, be sure you're influencing them. But also be open and transparent. Be open and transparent because it's the truth. If someone's going to give you truth, you're going to need that truth during times of need. 2 Timothy 4:3 will be overhead. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. If this verse doesn't a perfect picture of the world we live in today. I don't know what is. Itching, people just want to hear what they want to hear. You know people that are like that? It's like every time you try to encourage them in the Lord or tell you, oh, I've been praying for you and God said, and they just, that word but comes out. Yeah, but. It's like when you add the word but to God, you're not believing in God. Don't add that word. Believe by faith. Don't have itching ears. Don't only hear what you want to hear. Too many people just keep talking to different people till they get the counsel that they want. It's like, why is that? 50 people will tell them one thing, and then one person will tell them what they want to hear, and that's what they'll go with. It's like, okay. That makes no sense to me. Jesus told us it would be this way, though. Write this down if you're taking notes. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Jesus says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life. And there are few who find it. It's narrow, and he says it's difficult. I don't think anybody in here would say that the Christian life is easy, would you? It's difficult sometimes. It's difficult trying to deal with our own desires and our own wants compared to what God wants for us. It's a narrow path. God says, no, I'm protecting you in this. You need to stay on this path. It's difficult. It's not easy. It's narrow. When you have to get through something narrow, you got to really work at it, right? You can't just, it's not just, hey, broad street that leads to destruction. No, it takes work. The Christian walk is one that requires discipline. I know that word discipline these days isn't really that popular, is it? But God disciplines those he loves. And when he disciplines me, I know he loves me. I don't like it, but I know he loves me. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, right at the beginning of the chapter. Jesus had just been speaking to them about the coming judgment. And here in verse 1 of chapter 18, he shares a parable to illustrate what he's talking about. Because in the coming judgment, he's talking about there'll be two in the field, and one will be taken, and one will be left. There'll be two that are grinding together, and one will be taken, and one will be left. So he's got this thing going, one's taken and one's left. So he's going to explain this through a parable. In verse 1 of chapter 18, it says, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. That's a great verse right there. Saying there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. There was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me for my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? What I love about this parable is it shows us a very clear picture. Don't ever give up on prayer. Don't ever stop asking God. You don't bother him. He's not like the unjust judge, like God going, would you stop asking me that? That's not God's heart. He loves to hear from you. Oh, you're asking. Yes, I'm working on that. Yes, I'm gonna show you how I'm putting pieces together. I just need a little bit more time and to be patient. I know we pray to God and he says, wait, and we go, oh, come on, Lord. We don't like to wait. But Jesus says, listen, you ask and God will listen and he'll answer and he'll guide and he'll prepare and he'll provide the need that you have. You just keep asking. How long is too long to pray for something? I think it's longer than we give up on it. There's never too long to keep asking God. Either he'll answer it or he'll change your heart. But that last part in that verse 8 says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? That's the verse that gets me. Lord, I want to be found faithful when you return. I want to be the one that's, as he said in the first verse, men always ought to pray and not lose heart. He's saying just keep praying. Don't lose heart. In fact, in prayer, lift your heart so that when he comes back, he'll find that faith. If we're listening to the negative influencers in our life, then we won't be faithful when the Lord comes. But if we're listening to the positive, godly influencers in our life, then we'll have that faith. We'll be lifted. We'll be encouraged. When is the last time you just sat down with somebody to encourage them? You know, no business. You know, no business needs to be transpired. Nothing. Just, hey, let's get together. I want to hear what's going on in your life. And then pray for them. When's the last time you just did something like that? And we're all busy, right? We all don't have a lot of time. But man, I don't know about you. Time's going by pretty quick. It's going by way too fast. And I think sometimes the enemy just keeps us real busy so we don't have to worry about any of the spiritual stuff. Slow down. Let's try to slow down. Have you ever turned your cell phone off? What? And miss a tweet? Are you kidding me? It's almost unheard of now. The phone is off. Giving someone 100% of your attention. TV off. Computer off. Family time. Does that exist anymore? Please, somebody say yes. Yes. Family time. The only way we're going to influence each other is we spend time with each other. So we have, do the influencers in your life draw you to Jesus? Do they lead you to truth? Finally, back in 2 Peter chapter 2, the third verse, it says, by covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. The final one, do they help you grow? Do they help you grow in the Lord? Notice it says here in verse 3, by covetousness, which is greediness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. That word exploit can be the word commercialize. Negative influences in your life don't care about your progress. They don't care how well you're doing. They only care about how well you're going to help them do. They're exploiting you. They're using you. Now, if you're being used by someone because you have a heart for them, I say continue to be used. If you truly want the best for them and they're using you, that's okay. God will take care of you. But if they're trying to manipulate you and increase their bottom line through you, you need to stand guard. Many, many years ago in the church that I first got saved in, there was a gentleman there who was a stockbroker. And he had the deal. And he was going around to all the people in the church. I've got the deal. This is good information. It's a sure thing. Whenever you hear sure thing, run. Death is a sure thing, okay? Sure thing. Many in the church invested in this stock that was a sure thing. He got rich. and everybody lost their money. In the church, okay? The devil comes to church. There's people who come to benefit themselves and not you. If I ever stand behind this pulpit, or anyone stands behind this pulpit, and convicts you to give more to God in order to be more godly, do me a favor, find another church. My heart behind this pulpit is to encourage you in the Lord to be strong for God, to be used by God, to be that person that's ready and trained up and equipped that when tragedy happens, you'll be able to stand on the truth of God. Doesn't mean I won't teach you the truth about giving. I will. But I'm not going to tell you the more you give, the more God will love you. Because in reality, there could be somebody in this room that God is speaking to their heart to go above and beyond, to give more than they've been giving. But see, the difference is it's God telling them that, not me. I don't have to convince you. I don't have to persuade you. I don't have to say, I'm going to be watching the bucket on your way out, making sure you're putting your tithes in. I'm not going to do that. And some are like, in the church, are like, why don't they ever talk about it? Because God talks enough to you about it. And you should know enough about it. And if you have a question about it, come ask somebody. We'll talk about it. So I'm here to equip you and encourage you in the ways of the Lord and let God speak to you and let God convict you and let God move you. Question is, are you being moved by God? Do they draw you to Jesus? Do they lead you to the truth? Do they help you to grow? My heart for you is that you will grow in the Lord closer today than you were yesterday. That you'll leave this place going, all right, I need to make sure people in my life are a positive influence for me. And if there's somebody in your life that's sucking the life out of you, we call it, don't just abandon it, please. Commit it to prayer. Lord, are you allowing this person in my life for a purpose? Or is this somebody I really need to be mindful of? There are very clear scriptures in the Bible that says, you know, sometimes you got to push them away. Sometimes you got to hand them over to Satan. Sometimes you got to walk away and stay away. Or other times you got to pull up the bootstraps of faith and you get in there and you speak truth to that person. Help them turn. Nope. You need to grow in the Lord. You need to draw close to God. You need to be led to Jesus. It's all about Jesus and Him getting glorified, not me, not the ministry, not anybody else, just Him. Godly influencers want you to be the one who gets the benefits. See, I'm not here to teach so there's more people here, so the ministry is successful, so people can look at me. No. I want the ministry to grow as God adds to it. But I want to do everything in my power, in my ability to equip you and to encourage you. And sometimes that brings conviction. Sometimes that brings, I had a guy one time says, I've been to this church 4 times in a row and you convicted me every time. If you don't stop, I'm leaving. It's like, the Holy Spirit does that, man, not me. I love people that say, hey, I'm being convicted at this church, I'm going to another one. I always go, I think the Holy Spirit's supposed to be at every church, but that's just me. Listen, you should get the benefit from people in your life. You should be growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You should be growing in your understanding of the Scriptures. What do they mean? I mean, do you have people in your life that you look at their marriage and you go, man, that is an example of a godly marriage? Because the Bible says a godly marriage looks like this, and that couple looks like that. Are there people like that in your life? Are there other couples in your life you go, man, that they don't really live up to what the Bible is saying? And I'm not saying gossip about them. I'm saying spend some time with them. Has God equipped you to have gone through some things in your marriage? You've learned some things over the years, and now you're able to pour it into some of the younger couples. So important. These younger couples know what it is to live with a person of the opposite sex all the time. Not easy, is it? Yeah, you're sitting next to your spouse, so you're afraid to answer. It's not easy. It's not easy. Grow in your practice of prayer. Pray for people. Pray with people. When you hear somebody say, "Man, I'm not doing too good," say, "Can I pray for you right now? Can I pray for you?" And just, it's not about the words, it's about the heart. It's about putting it before God. Grow in your faith. Grow in your gifts and talents. You know, we know the parable of the talents, right? The one guy who hid his talent. Called him a wicked servant. Are you using your gifts and talents for God? What are those gifts and talents? What are they that you have? You may be the people that are supposed to be influencing others, and you're not. Jesus is saying, "Man, I've gifted you. I need you to use those gifts and talents." "Well, I'm busy." God knows you're busy. God knows you're busy. But he still gifted you. So I want you this week to think about the people in your life that are pouring into you, and then think of the people in your life that God has put in your life that you're to pour into them. You know, everybody needs a Paul ministering to them, and everybody needs a Timothy that they're ministering to. That's what sharpens us. I mean, do you have some sense of understanding of what the Word of God says and the power that's in it? Use that. Share that. All the time. See, I really feel like sometimes we just kind of coast through life and we don't seize the opportunities that God has for us. But if you said, "Tomorrow morning I'm going to wake up and I'm going to say, God, I'm going to meet with one person today. Show me who that person is." Start there. Every day. "Wait, God, show me the next person you want me to." And truly be proactive in your ministering to people, in your Christianity. Have you never done it? "Well, I just don't know what to do." Man, just tell them what Jesus has done in your life. That's what people need to know. If there's people that aren't influencing you in a positive way, please consider those friendships. Consider what God wants you to do with those. Because they can be hindering you from what God wants for you. So in this time of communion, remembering what Jesus has done for us and all the influence he's put upon our lives, I think it'd be a good time for us also just to kind of put those names up there before God. Say, "Lord, help me spend more time with so-and-so who really pours into my life." Remembering what Jesus has done on the cross can mean a lot of different things for a lot of people in this room. So during this prayer and during our time of communion, go before the Lord and say, "Lord, this month I remember what you've done for me because," and then fill in the blank. Let it be personal. Let Jesus speak to you this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you haven't left us on this planet, Lord, without instructions. That truly the Christian life does come with a Christian manual. It's called the Bible. And though we've only looked at a handful of verses, God, I know your word is planted seeds in many hearts. But God forbid that those seeds would be stolen. I pray, God, that you would water them. I pray that they would take root. I pray that they would grow and that they would blossom into maturity and obedience, love and forgiveness. Truly, Lord, this is a time to be trained up, to be equipped, so that we can leave this place, not only being ministered to, but to minister to others. Help us not go through life with blinders on, God. There's a lot of things going on in each of our lives this morning. A lot of cares and concerns and a lot of things we're trying to deal with. But let us not forget our neighbors, our coworkers, our fellow students, and even the strangers that maybe are standing or walking down the street. Fill us to overflow with your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we'd be able to discern good from evil. Let us learn to have that discernment and to move in the right way, to take the proper actions. Lord, we want nothing more than to lift up the name of Jesus in this place. We want nothing more than your truth to go forth We want nothing more, Lord, that we would continually grow and not grow stagnant, not be a church that has left its first love, but people that hold on to you and hold on tightly. So as we spend this time in communion, God, I pray that you've put some things upon our hearts and that we will remember what you've done and give you praise and thanks for what you're doing. We love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.